Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with United States Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Chris Murphy, as always, I want to thank you for keeping your word, coming back on WAMC and talking to us. I've seen you on CNN and MSNBC and you name it, you've been there, but still you come back and you talk to us here at WAMC, and that's so important. Hey, do you have a favorite in the presidential primary?
I don't. You know, all my friends are running. You know, my generation in the Senate, Kamala and Cory and Kirsten are all close friends. I've also worked very closely with Bernie and Elizabeth and Michael Bennett, and got to know a couple of the other candidates that are running. So, in large part because I have so many friends running, I am going to stay away from opining or endorsing. What I've tried to do is, elevate the voices of some of these campaigns when they talk about something that's really meaningful to me. So I love the fact that, many of these candidates, my friends, are offering really strong proposals to change the nation's gun laws. I like the fact that some of them have stepped out with some visions about what they would do, repairing America's reputation on the world if they were elected president. So, if I have the opportunity, I'll try to amplify some of their proposals. But for the time being, I'm just going to cheer them all on.
Well, Chris Murphy, I guess I want to change subjects for a minute and go to the NCAA, saying college students and athletes are being taken advantage, by colleges. What needs to change? Does this put you at odds with UConn? We say UConn because it's not Sergeant Preston, but it's the name of the university.
So, this is an issue that I've gotten into over the course of the last few months. I don't spend a lot of time on the issue of how the NCAA runs itself, but I think it's important. I think it's important because it's a civil rights issue. What we know today is that kids, especially in these big-time college sports programs, the Division I football and basketball programs, are being exploited. They are making literally billions of dollars for an industry, and they get no share of it. Now, they get these scholarships, but the scholarships represent a tiny portion of the money that is really going to coaches being paid multi-million dollar salaries, the CEOs of the athletic apparel companies and the broadcasting companies. And these kids end up not really getting much of an education. I mean, they're there to play sports, and many of them don't graduate. Those that do graduate often, get degrees that are practically worthless because they sort of got pushed through class after class. It's a civil rights issue because, these kids are being exploited regardless of race, but it's also a civil rights issue because at the basketball and football programs, most of these kids are black. And most of the adults, almost all of the adults who are making money, are white. And so I've tried to shed light on this, in part because I love college sports. I'm a big UConn fan, in part because I am one of the younger members of the United States Senate, so I feel like I have to speak up on behalf of these kids. And I just, I just feel like somebody's got to put some pressure on the NCAA and these schools to shape up and do right by these kids. And they've made some changes since I started sort of sounding the alarm here, and I hope
like
that
what?
They make more. Well, one of the things they've started to look into, the NCAA has, is letting kids make money off their likenesses. This is one of the most ridiculous things. So for the really well-known college athletes, the NCAA or the school can sell their name, make money off their name, and the kid gets none of that income. So at least in that situation, the kid should be able to control, his greatness and the money that's being made off of his greatness. Now, that's not sufficient because, the offensive tackle makes just as much money for Clemson as the quarterback does, but that's something that the NCAA has started the process of letting students do, and that's a good thing.
You play a little b-ball yourself?
I mean, I played, high school basketball, my athletic talents quickly expired once I reached the college level. But I love sports. I follow UConn very, very closely, I just have had a little harder time loving college sports as I have watched these kids be treated so badly, especially when we learn more about concussions in football, when you think about we might be doing long-term brain damage to these kids. And yeah, it's one thing if you make it to the pros and earn a couple $1 million in a contract, but for the kids that don't make it to the pros, that have brain damage, that don't make any money while they're in college, that's a tough thing to swallow as a college football fan. And so I decided to do something about it.
Good for you, I have to say, as somebody who has recently experienced a concussion. I know that it could take months, weeks, and years sometimes to come out of that. It's amazing. It's a terrible thing. Let me go from there to trade. I know that you're interested in what Trump is doing, President Trump is doing with China. And are we making an error here?
Well, we are in the sort of nonsensical way that we have executed this new trade policy. I've said for a long time, Alan, I think on your show and plenty of other places, that we had a trade policy with China that didn't make a lot of sense. We were involved in a trade war with them, except they were the only ones that were fighting. They were stealing our intellectual property. They were manipulating the value of their currency. They were putting lots of public money into industries that allowed them to put goods priced way below private sector pricing available in the United States. But if you're going to open up a trade war with China, then you need friends to go in with you. And you need a concrete and coherent strategy about what you want out of at the end of the battle. And A, the Trump administration is doing this all alone. They have not been able to convince any of the major players like the Europeans to go into this fight with us. And B, they have not communicated to China what they're actually asking for. And so the Chinese are having a hard time negotiating with the Trump administration because it seems to be all tactics, no strategy. And meanwhile, we are cratering into a recession because we are going on 8 to 12 months of tariff policy without any hope of getting a deal on the back end. So, my sense is that this administration can't negotiate its way out of a paper bag. And when you go into a trade negotiation without a strategy, and it's all of us back in the United States that get hurt, nothing's more irresponsible. And so it's not the instinct to be tougher with China that I mind. It's the way in which the administration has done it.
And I heard something I just want to check because we only have a minute more. But basically, Chris Murphy, are you saying that you think we're on our way to a recession?
I hope not. I mean, I'm just reading what many economists are talking about. And the reason, of course, is complicated. Part of it is the trade policies of this administration. Part of it is a tax cut that, ended up being pocketed by the millionaires and the billionaires who didn't end up spending in the Main Street economy. Another part of why we may be headed for an economic slowdown is a labor shortage. I mean, we have 3% unemployment today. What economists tell me is that if we continue to block people from coming into this country on the southern border, if we don't let refugees from other nations populate our cities, then we simply aren't going to have the bodies to fill the jobs that are being created. And then lastly, we have a wage crisis in this country. When you have massive amounts of Americans who have no savings, who can't afford to go on vacation, who can't afford to bring their family out for dinner, that slows the economy in and of itself. So even though we have low unemployment, the people that are working have no income to spend in the economy, at least discretionary income that's not going to pay for rent or food or health care. And that flattening of wage growth stagnates the economy as well. So I worry about where we're going if we don't if we're not smarter about trade, if we don't have a real policy to increase people's incomes, and we continue to have this racist, backwards, reckless immigration policy.
Always wonderful to talk to our friend Chris Murphy, who has said he would come back and talk to us and has. And Chris, we're very, very thankful for that. We have one more time. We're going to come back and we'll talk to you about Things like, small things like Iran and, you name it.
Great.